Jesus tells us, love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. For he is kind to the unthankful and evil. Here we gain a profound insight about the character and behavior of God. He is not only kind to believers, those who pray and read his word regularly, who attend church and make an effort to treat people with respect. God is also kind to evil people, those who refuse to submit to him, who even deny his existence. In another place, Jesus says that God makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. It is interesting that Jesus links evil people with the unthankful. When we think of evil people, we may think of cruel, angry, violent people who enjoy hurting and taking from others. But we rarely think of unthankful people as being especially wicked. Perhaps they're just too busy with their lives to pause and give thanks to God. But in truth, unthankful people are those who do not recognize God as the source of their blessings, and this makes them, in some sense, evil. God is the fountain of all blessings. James tells us every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from the Father. Every good thing in your life is a gift from God. But not everybody recognizes this. We evangelical Christians get it. If we receive any blessing in our lives, our automatic response is to say, Father, thank you for this blessing, or praise the Lord. This spouse, this car, this house, this job, this child, this opportunity for ministry. When a blessing appears in our lives, we know full well where it came from, and we give thanks to God. Perhaps we did work for it. Perhaps it involved us making sacrifices to get it. Perhaps we did a lot of research and brainstorming beforehand, but still we understand that ultimately God has done it, and we are grateful. But amazingly, people who never thank God for anything, who never even pray, who make no attempt to please God, and are skeptical that God even exists, still get blessed by God. When after a season of drought and the rains come and fall on the farmlands, it's not merely the praying, Bible-reading Christian farmers who get the rain. Hard-boiled farmers who can barely speak a sentence without lacing it with profanity get rain on their fields as well. When it's a boomer year for the wheat farmers, the ungodly, immoral farmers prosper as well as the godly. God does not reserve his physical blessings exclusively for his children. It never dawns on these unthankful folks that they've been blessed by a kind and compassionate Creator. They just attribute their blessings to their own hard work, or maybe they assume they got lucky. And so they never bow their heads in prayer and give thanks to the Heavenly Father. They go about their business, happy but entirely ignorant of how it was that their blessings appeared. Paul preached to the people of Lystra and described how God made all that there is, the heavens, the seas, the earth, and everything in it. He then stated, "Nevertheless, he did not leave himself without witness, in that he did good, gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness." According to Paul, God's goodness in supplying both the sinners and the godly with all they need for a happy life was a witness to the world. In other words, when we look around and see how blessed we are and the abundance that is in our lives, we should recognize that this is due to our kind and benevolent Creator. But, of course, many people do not see this at all. Most people these days are not farmers, but nearly everyone has happy, blessed seasons in their lives. These are times when it seems the sun is shining, times when our career is prospering, when our lives are filled with pleasant relationships and peace. These fruitful seasons are given us as a witness of the goodness of God, and it is expected that we will recognize this and give thanks to God for it. And it is not just Christians who receive these seasons of blessings, but sadly it is usually only Christians who ever pause to thank God for them. Sometimes, in our enthusiasm for God, we Christians will say something like, "If I didn't know God, I would surely be dead. Or if I didn't have Jesus in my life, I'd be a total failure." That may be true, but the truth is that there are sinners who live to an old age. There are non-Christians who have good marriages and successful careers and friends and nice houses and take pleasant vacations and live fairly happy lives. Their problem is not that they suffer from a lack of blessings. Their problem is that they do not have enough sense to realize from whence the blessings come. We Christians have a habit that most non-Christians will never practice. We bow our heads and give thanks to God for our meals. We recognize that the very food on our table is a gift of God. Despite the fact that we've eaten thousands of meals previously, we do not take it for granted that the Father has graciously allowed us to enjoy a breakfast, a lunch, or a dinner. That hamburger or pot of beans or salad on our table did not just come from the supermarket. It came as a gift from God. Yes, we purchased it with our money, but it was God who gave us the job that gave us the money that enabled us to purchase this day's meals. And that meat and broccoli that sits before us is a witness of our loving Father, which art in heaven, the one who gives us our daily bread, and for that we say thank you. Different gifts provoke different levels of thankfulness, of course. I do not spend hundreds of times in prayer thanking God for some hamburger meal I enjoyed 20 years ago. I did thank God for that meal at the time, but by now it's long forgotten. But for some blessings, I thank God over and over again. My wife Benedicta is one such blessing. I could never count the number of times I've thanked God for drawing us together, and for that special time that she came up to the car as I was preparing to be driven back to my hotel after the morning ministry in Lagos, Nigeria. Benedicta wanted to interview me for a video she was making about the meetings that had been going on, and that led us to getting to know each other, and eventually we got married. And I've been thanking God for her ever since. But the greatest gift of all for which we should thank God continually is the blessing of salvation through our faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that our faith itself is a gift from God. All of us who are in Christ, who have been made keenly aware of our loving and generous Heavenly Father, were at some point drawn unto Jesus by the Father. We did not discover Christ accidentally. Our hearts were opened by the Holy Spirit. And we came to believe that God so loved the world, God so loved us, that He gave His only begotten Son for us, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And for that, above all else, we will give thanks continually.